Good morning. I'd like to bring to order the conference committee on House Bill 3280B. We have a couple of very lengthy amendments, and Beth, if you just give us a real brief description, I was going to have Richard Whitman and Harrison Conley come up and kind of walk us through the bills and answer a few questions.
Okay, so the two amendments that you have in front of you are the B-37 amendment and the B-38 amendment. Those amendments are identical with the exception of the B-38 amendment limits the calendar days that a winery can hold events on from 25 to 14. Want me to expand or...
Why don't you a little bit?
So, so I'll go ahead and describe the B-37 amendment. It's repealing the measure, so it's gut and stuff, and it's deleting the maximum annual production for a winery established as a permitted use on EFU land. It authorizes the winery to market and sell wine produced in conjunction with the winery, including wine tours, wine tasting, wine clubs, and similar activities. It's authorizing a winery to market and sell items directly related to the sale and promotion of wine in conjunction with the winery, including food and beverage prepared by a limited service restaurant, and including to provide services related to the sale and promotion of wine, including private events that are limited to 25 days or fewer in a calendar year. It limits the gross income from sale of items and services to 25% of the gross income from on-site retail sale of wine. Effective January 1st, 2013, a local government may request a winery to submit an annual written report prepared by a certified public accountant that documents compliance with the 25% of gross income requirement. It also authorizes a local government that has issued permits to wineries for hosting outdoor concerts, facility rentals, or celebratory events to continue to issue those permits. It sunsets the provision that allow for private events and the 25% income requirement on January 1, 2014. The next section, which is Section 5, authorizes a winery to be established as a permitted use on EFU land if at least 80 acres with at least 50 acres of vineyard winery owns at least, in addition, it owns at least 80 additional acres in Oregon of additional planted vineyards, and the winery has produced at least 150,000 gallons of wine in at least three of the last 5 years. In addition to the wine tasting and wine, other uses that we talked about in the earlier category, we're authorizing a winery to market and sell items directly related to the sale and promotion of wine, including the operation of a limited service restaurant, wine not produced in conjunction with the winery and gifts, and to provide related services and promotion wine, including private events limited to 25 days or fewer in a calendar year. It has the same 25% limit on that income. Effective January 13th, the local government may request winery to submit an annual written report. The document's compliance. It requires the winery to... authorizes the winery to operate a restaurant in which food is prepared for consumption on premises. It requires the winery to obtain a permit from local government if the winery operates the restaurant and it is open to the public more than 25 days in a calendar year, or provides for private events on more than 25 days in a calendar year. Authorizes the local government to approve a permit application and requires a permit review at least once every 5 years. Declares an emergency effective on passage.
Thank you. And I appreciate, Mr. Whitman, that you probably haven't had a lot of time to review this specific amendment, but very similar to others that we've talked about. And certainly having Mr. Connolly, who's probably seen this a version of this many times, has a thorough understanding of the amendment. So hopefully between the two of you, you can answer questions and maybe walk us through a couple of key points on the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Chair. Senator Pazansky.
Would you like a motion just to get this before us?
Certainly.
Move that the committee adopt the dash B-37s into the House Bill 3280.
Very good. So we have a motion before us. Senator Przanski's moved the Dash 37 amendments to House Bill 3280 and discussion. Open to discussion initially from committee members. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Chair, I hope you're intending to give us a chance to understand the amendment before we actually take a vote on it.
That is my intent.
Thank you. I appreciate that. In particular, actually, there now seem to be three the differences between the 37 and the 38 is around the number of days, and those two obviously have different limitations, as the staff has indicated. But statute in another section has yet a different number. We have 25. One amendment says 14, and current statute on other similar activities has 18. So I think particularly discussion around those differences would be very helpful for the committee to decide whether there's a preference for the 37 or the 38 amendment.
Thank you. And any other questions? I'm going to defer to Mr. Whitman and Mr. Conley to talk about the days specifically, and also that interplay with I guess what would have been Senate Bill 960.
I don't think it's law yet.
But Senate Bill 960.
Chair Holvey, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Whitman, the Governor's Natural Resource Advisor. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on House Bill 3280 this morning. You're focused on the question of the number of days of events that would be authorized at wineries under the amendments to 3280 before you. I believe Representative Nolan was referring to Senate Bill 960, which has passed both chambers and is either on or soon to be on the governor's desk for signature, and I'll say is expected to be signed by the governor. That bill, 960, just to give the committee members a little bit of context here, deals with the general issue of events on land that is zoned for farm use in Oregon. And the purpose of that bill, broadly speaking, was to set up a number of ways in which people who own farmland can carry out events on farmland, subject to appropriate limitations to assure that those events weren't conflicting with farm use of that property. And so that bill contains, as I said, a number of pathways to carry out an event, ranging from an over-the-counter, basically permission slip from the county without any process for very low-impact events, to a full permit process for property owners that are holding multiple events on their property over a longer period of time with a lot of people. And so the reference to up to 18 events is with regard to that, what we call the third pathway under Senate Bill 960, which does require a permit from a county and would allow the owner of exclusive farm use zone land to hold up to 18 events on their property. The intent for 3280 in terms of putting a limitation on the number of days of events was to more or less, if not mirror, have some relationship, recognize that that wineries are another type of farm use and that there should be some sort of corresponding limitation on the number of days of events on wineries. So we have two competing numbers in the 30-37s and 38s, the 37s being up to 25 days of events, and the 38s being up to 14 days of events.
So, and could I follow up with just one thing? So in the bill, so either one of you can answer, to make it clear that a winery who accesses 25 events under this proposed legislation could also then petition the county for another permit under what would we, the 960 provisions to do other things or other events beyond the 25 days.
So this, I'll try and respond to that, but Harrison, if you have anything to add, please jump in. But I'm referring now to Section 3 of Senate Bill 960, which provides if a winery sited on exclusive farm use zone land conducts events or activities authorized by 960, I'm paraphrasing here, the winery may not conduct events or activities, again paraphrasing, that are authorized under the winery statute and subject to conditional approval by the county. So what that means in English is that if you are using the general authorization for events, you can't double dip in the sense of using the authorization for events that is in 3280 for going over the 25. You can do the up to 25 days that's allowed without getting a conditional approval from the county, and you can use combine that with the authorization in 960. But once you get into that higher category, more days beyond 25, then you can't use both.
Harrison, would you like to take a stab at answering that question?
Well, yeah, I thought you did lose it a little bit there. Harrison Conley, Deputy Legislative Counsel. Yes, I think the basic idea is that a winery, if it is a winery, must choose one set of conditionally approved events or the other if it is going beyond
the
25 days worth of those activities.
So, Mr. Chair, just to clarify, you cannot stack them and have a cumulative 18 plus 25 and have extra events. You basically have to choose one path or the other. So I want to make sure we're clear on the record for that.
To those conditional uses of a winery, yes, you have to choose one path or the other when you exceed 25 days or 14 days.
Yes.
Mr. Chair. So for uses that are not authorized under 452, could a winery then also get a conditional use permit for other uses if the county were to approve that?
Yes, and Representative Holvey, again for the record, Richard Whitman, the wineries that are not authorized under 215-452 would be two types of wineries. One, the wineries that are authorized under Section 5 of House Bill 3280. Those are, again, in English, that's the very large wineries. And then any winery that has been approved as a what we call a conditional use winery under other provisions of 215 also wouldn't be covered by this prohibition on double dipping.
Thank you. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to make the point. I think it's consistent with what Senator Dingfelder was pointing out. We could look at this as not stackable, or we could look at this as providing options that give the widest range of choices for these winery operations for them to choose from. Some of them that are large might want to choose one path because they've got the capacity and the business interest and a strategy for using that. Some that might be smaller or craft or something like that might choose a different option. And having both options that Senate Bill 960 and either of these amendments offers gives choices to the operators that they can choose what fits best with their business model.
So,
go ahead.
Chair Holvey, just to add one thing to the Representative Nolan's statement, that is a large part of the thrust of this bill, but it is important to note also that this bill has a sunset in it, and that it will sunset, if passed and signed, will sunset on January 1, 2014. So this is still a work in progress. This is still an experiment. I think the work of everybody involved in this effort over the session makes us all aware that we don't. There are many differing viewpoints on this. There are many differing types of wineries, and I think many of us feel that more work is needed in this area to get this right, and this will allow us a period to continue the effort for another couple of years and see how things work. So I just wanted to make that statement for the record. Thank you.
Thank you. I know I still have a few concerns I want to talk about the bill, but I want to see if anybody else has anything else. Senator Dingfield.
Well, I would just, since we have two competing amendments here that have different days, and we've heard the Dash 38 has the 14 days, the Dash 37 has 25 days, and when we worked on Senate Bill 960, we came up with 18 days, and I'm curious about the 25 number, how that came about, and if I'd like to hear if the governor's office has any comment. The 14, I was heard, came about for, I guess, the number of weekends in the summer, thinking about that's the busiest time for wineries. So I'm, you know, somebody's going to ask us how we came up with these numbers. I'd like to have something on the record about what's the justification for the variance, and why not be consistent with Senate Bill 960?
Chair Holvey, Senator Dingfelder, Richard Whitman for the record. The basis for the number 25 was simple in the discussions of folks working on the B23s and B28s, was essentially that it would allow events to occur on every other weekend is the thinking. I mean, we have 52 weeks in the year, so it was as simple as that. Thinking about if I'm a neighbor of a winery and I'm concerned about having to put up with events going on, you know, that was sort of the upper limit of I think what people felt was a reasonable number. I was not involved in the discussions on the particular discussions on 960 for how the number 18 was arrived at, so I can't comment on what the basis for that was. And I'm not positive of what the basis for the number 14 is, but the 25 was every other weekend.
And I can comment on the 18 since that was crafted in my office as a compromise number.
Yeah.
Frankly, okay. There was a larger number involved, and so that was felt it was more reasonable. The one thing I will note is that most of these events will be occurring in the summer. We do happen to live in, at least in the Willamette Valley, the rainy environment, and so that is a consideration, is that 25 days most likely are probably going to occur in the summer months or fall months. So I think it'll be more concentrated than dispersed.
Senator Thompson.
Representative Hovey, thank you. Just as an example, we've got an outfit up in Hood River that they hold 31 weddings a year. So the 25 is going to cut into that, their operation. It's going to hurt them. You know, that's six events on average. I'm comfortable with a 25. 14 would cut their operation more than half, so I think it's a good start. It's not doesn't make everybody happy, but I think we should start with a 25. In 2 years, we're going to look at it again. We can go back to our districts and see what that does to our wineries and make another stab at it in a couple of years. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's important to remember that we do have a very diverse climactic conditions in the state, and in Senator Thompson and I's district or area jurisdiction, you know, we have some wonderful weather late into the fall, and it becomes much nicer earlier in the spring as well, and I would be hesitant to try to just limit the parameters or try to set up, you know, you're only available to use your facility during the quote-unquote summer months, because they have a resource, and the clientele and the people are there, and they're anxious to begin coming out as soon as the snow melts, and sometimes, so I would be hesitant to constrict the window to 14. I think 25 is much more reasonable. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While our focus here is on the activities that occur and can occur and should occur, and we want to occur, to support not just the growing of wine grapes and the production of wine, but wine production as a tourism, as a piece of our tourism toolbox, if you will. We should also be mindful that those are not the only activities that occur in our natural resources and agricultural lands, and the impact of those activities on other agricultural and, in some cases, forestry adjacent or nearby uses is something that I think is really important. That is what leads me to favor, actually, in an earlier part of this discussion, a proposal for 10 days as a limit because of the impact on tractors and slow-moving vehicles and agricultural production and log trucks was something that we have to pay attention to. So we can support the tourism surrounding the wine industry while at the same time not damaging our other agricultural uses. And to my mind, that means that the Dash 38 makes a lot more sense to provide balance for all of our natural resource job activities.
Thank you. So I have another a piece of the bill that I actually have some questions about that I'm not sure how the rest of the committee may respond to this, but there's a piece in the bill about a local government issuing or requesting a documentation that they meet the 25% income requirement as a percentage of their on-site sales, and the way it is worded particularly, I know it appears in the bill in a couple places. I know it does appear on page 13.
Page 5 is the other.
And page 5 was the other. But the it basically says at the request of the local government, a winery shall submit to the local government an annual written report prepared by a certified public accountant that documents compliance with paragraphs A of this subsection. And in the drafting, you know, oftentimes, you know, our intent and the we had discussed this quite a bit about the, really what we were trying to get out here and also trying to protect the privacy of the business operation as well and their business model. And what from my seat I was intending was that the local government would be able to request a written statement from a certified public accountant that acknowledges the compliance in the previous tax year. And I just was trying to figure out how to say that because I'm not sure that the language that we have actually gets us to that point. I could interpret it that way, but I think the way the language is, it also could be interpreted that a county would request an audit from a certified public accountant and, you know, with full documentation. I did not want to go down that particular road. I think that's overly burdensome when we have certainly a CPA who's licensed and has ethics to comply with. Just receiving a statement seems less intrusive into the business. And so I would like to put that on the record and see if there was any discussion about that. And Harrison, maybe you can comment about that and whether or not we may want to recess and clarify that piece I don't know how comfortable I am. I could put it on the record, I suppose, and we could address it in the future, but I think that piece does bother me a little bit. So,
Chair Holvey, Harrison Conley for the record. Yes, we did. I did have some discussions with your staff about that before. I'll start with a bit of an apology. I don't know that it's really quite due, but certainly in some of the 38 versions, we have gone with a written statement as opposed to a written report. I will say as well that I'm not aware of any definition in statute, and certainly not one that we've applied to this that says what a report means. The courts have signaled in recent years a willingness to look more closely at legislative history when presented with those arguments. So I think there is a great deal of value in your saying that what you really intend here is a statement of compliance and not necessarily a full documentation of the winery's profits and losses from any particular items. That said, the better course would be, if you choose that, to suggest some language to me and take a recess. I'm sure we can bring you back a new amendment within an hour if you decide on one or the other version with that change. I'm sure we can do it in less than an hour, but
Senator,
I hate to put that pressure on my post folks.
No apologies needed. We've been putting you through the ringer on this one. So, Senator Przanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The great press.
I concur with your observations. When we worked through this, and especially this last one, it was my intent that it would be explicitly laid out for clarity that it would be a statement, not a report. And I believe, and Harrison can correct us, but I would believe it would need to be for the previous tax year, knowing that these organizations may not be on the calendar tax cycle. And so that way it would, in fact, allow them to comply, and we would know exactly what was going to come in. And I think for the record, those two clauses, one is on page 5, line 20 through 24. The other starts on page 13, line 30, and continues on page 14 through line 4. And so my hope would be that we could, in fact, put it very clear, bright-lined into the bill itself. That way, if anyone who looks at it, they will know exactly what we intended, and we don't have to put people in a perspective of needing to go through the legislative history, since we do have time to actually get that done, and it sounds like we could have it prepared and ready for us to come back on a recess early afternoon.
Chair Holvey, Senator Przanski, let me mention as well, just for folks who were following along, we also have that language on page 8 deleted in a future version of the winery statute, lines 12 to 15 or so.
So is there any discussion on that item? Specifically, is there any opposition to that particular item? I'm not asking for a vote. I'm just wanting to know if there's concern about clarifying
that. We're going to more precision.
Correct.
I think that is a smart move.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nolan.
Because we have, in fact, rung staff in both the committee services and Ledge Council through the ringer, I would like to call the question on the number of days so that we only have to get one amendment drafted. I would move that we include 14 days in that amendment.
And I think that we already have a motion on the table for the dash 37s, and I would like to entertain that first.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think
you're going to get a new amendment.
Right. I think you have basically another motion that's been made, which would mean we'd need to vote on Representative Nolan's first.
Yep.
And then we'd fall back
yes,
to the other one.
Because we actually aren't moving the dash 37s. Good point. So I don't have a problem with doing that. If you would like to have a vote on whether we should have 14, your motion is, Representative Nolan's moved that we have the draft, the future draft, reflect 14 days instead of 25. Which is in the other draft. So,
Mr. Chair, while we're having this discussion,
yes,
it occurred to me to be consistent with hopefully what's going to be existing law, Senate Bill 960, which is the 18 days, which is not in written form right now. But when I think about that we are permitting through one statute 18 days and through another statute we're looking at either 14 or 25 days, I think consistency is not a bad thing. I would propose thinking about 18, because then we would be consistent with what is going to be law. And when we do get asked, why are we allowing one industry to have 25 days of event and another industry only to have 18 days, I think that does beg the question.
Mr. Chair, just a point of order. Are we going to vote on the motion for 14 days? Is that what I hear? Or are we changing the motion to 18 days?
I'll put another motion on the table.
Yeah.
Well, I'll accept Senator Dingfelder's suggestion as a friendly amendment and withdraw my motion.
So fine, Representative Kahn.
If I may comment on the number of days and various industries, there's a lot of industries that are open 365 days a year because of their business model. And I think of agricultural type businesses, maybe it's a pumpkin patch or something like that, that may have a very extremely limited time of year where they're in an agricultural zone and they're allowed to do those types of things. At a winery is a very different business model, and I don't see how we compare the 18 days to 25 days in two different business models. That's my thought.
Thank you, and I guess I might as well comment on this too. I would prefer the 25 days. I think the wine industry itself is quite different than other types of agricultural enterprises, and does lend more towards agritourism than any other agricultural industry as well. And so, and being that we have a lot of uses already in existence right now, I would really hate to see us roll the clock back on an industry that's already been permitted across many counties and are operating today on a business model. I think we should stay at 25 and be cautious about rolling this back too far. I'm just concerned about the impact of that, and recognizing that we will come back in the 2013 session and take a look at this again. But I would be very concerned to roll this back any further than 25. That would be my opinion.
Mr. Chair, and I guess to put my position on by moving the dash 38s, excuse me, dash 37s, I did that because it does have the 25 days in there. And the reason I support that is that being one of the individuals that have been working as one of the subgroups that has been meeting through this this session with numerous people, interest groups, we have been working once we've got to this portion of the bill with 25 all the way through. And I believe that we've had the greatest support for the reasons that Representative Cameron and Mr. Chair yourself, Representative Hovey, have put on the record, and that is why I will be supporting the 25, and also want to emphasize we will be back here and we will be able to look at it. And based on the comments I've heard from our good colleagues from the Hood River area, knowing that the impact it would in fact have on numerous businesses, not just there, but also I think in Southern Oregon and other parts of where we have a lot of wineries, that this is one that was compromised and agreed to, because there were belief that we should have maybe up to 50 events. And so this is where I think we should end for our current draft that we have. And then, as we said, we will be able to come back and modify it as necessary once we have some type of track record with the comparison. And we'll be able to see also, I think, what's happening with 960, because it has 18 for the limitations we know, and see how that's working as well.
So with that, I'll go ahead and ask for a vote on the proposed 18-day proposal in our future draft dash whatever.
73.
So Shelley, would you like to call a roll on the proposal for changing or limiting the days for these private events to 18?
Senator Dinkelder.
Aye.
Senator Potomsky.
No.
Senator Thompson.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Co-Chair Cameron.
No.
Co-Chair Holby.
No. So that particular motion fails, and I might as well ask for a motion on the 25 days, since we're making changes.
Mr. Chair, I would say at this point, where we're at, it would seem like the Dash 37s has that. It would seem that we would conceptually adopt the Dash 37s with the change that we've talked about for report, or I should say statement versus report, would be maybe a more expeditious way of getting there.
And so you're saying you don't think we need to have a vote on that?
I'm going to make a motion that we, as I have on the table already, and I'm going to amend my motion that was to adopt the Dash 37s to include the conceptual change of changing those three sections or any other sections that are in the bill dealing with the requirement of a report being filed, but instead a statement based on the request of county government, and that it would be a request for a statement based on the previous tax year of the winery.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, before we vote on an amendment, I think that I thought we were still having discussion on the substance of the amendment. We got a little bit sidelined.
Well, I'd like to get this piece off the table.
But the motion is for the entire amendment, to adopt the entire amendment, and I don't think we have walked through the entire amendment fully yet. So
we're still in discussion.
Yeah. So. And right. Are we going to wait until we have the final amendment? Or aren't we going to recess?
Yeah, well, we're going to recess.
But hopefully this will be the last amendment. So having the discussion now so that everybody understands it and we address questions, in case something else comes up, we may not have time to ask for a 39th or a 40th amendment. And
so I have a motion on the table. Discussion, Rep. Sim Nolan.
I have a couple of questions. First of all, I haven't yet seen a fiscal impact statement on anything passed about the Dash 22 amendment. I'd like to know what the status of that is. What will be the cost to the state? What will be the cost to the counties for implementing a Dash 38 or a conceptual Dash 39?
And certainly that's a good question.
We need
question.
To appropriate funds.
Certainly an appropriate question based on the past fiscals as we have looked at them. I wouldn't expect a major change. However, recessing may also give us a fiscal statement when we come back. And if not, we also have the ability potentially to suspend the rules and to move the bill without the fiscal to get this bill moving along and wait for the fiscal to catch up to this particular bill as we move forward. But I think we'll know more about that after we come back from recess from this committee. So we basically have two options. We can suspend the rules, move it without the fiscal, or we can hope that the fiscal is back when we come back in.
My question wasn't procedural. I genuinely want to know the information that would be contained in that fiscal analysis, not just check a box off on the path to the floor.
So noted.
So I have a question.
Senator Dingfelder.
I'd have a question, another issue that's come up for probably for Richard or Harrison, if they can clarify. And this would be on page 3, the bottom of page 3 of the dash. That was the 38, so let's see if it's the same. Yeah, it's the same on the bottom of, I want to make sure I'm understanding this right. The 8 sub B, small b, a county may not issue a permit for a winery operating under this section to host outdoor concerts which admission is charged, et cetera, et cetera. Can you explain, make sure I'm understanding this right, what the intent is here?
Chair Holvey, Senator Dingfelder, for the record, Richard Whitman. My understanding of this section is, again, in English, it's a standstill provision. It's basically saying that if a county has not been issuing permits for these types of events that are stated in that section, that they may not change that practice and start to issue permits for those types of events. However, if subsections or paragraph A says if they have been issuing permits, then they may continue to do so. So it's, when I say a standstill, that's what I mean.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Brzozowski.
If I can follow up. When we looked at this, Association of Counties brought to our attention that some counties are already permitting. Mm-hmm. And what we wanted to do is make certain we kept, I'm going to call it status quo, allowing those counties to continue that practice if they choose to do so, not require it, but allow them to continue it since that's their current practice. And for those counties that are not, that they would stand down during this period of while the bill is intact until the sunset before they would maybe either go to that process or maybe determine that they don't need to because of how it's actually working in the field. So what we didn't want to do is change the rules in the middle of the game during this period of up until January 1, 2014, when the sunset runs.
Thank
you, Senator. Other discussion?
And I guess the other thing I'll say in this, I think the interesting part is that as this plays out, you may even see the counties that are currently permitting may choose not to do it in the future based on the results of how it works for other counties and maybe even save them money if we're going to, let's say, remove the sunset in the future or maintain something close and similarity of having a cap of the number of events. And that may actually play out, but at this point, status quo.
Thank you. Any other discussion concerns with the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Senator, Representative Nolan.
While we're clarifying, and I know we've talked about the stacking question earlier, but I just want to be clear, either Mr. Whitman or Mr. Conley. An operation can take advantage of either the provisions of Senate Bill 960 or Section 2 of this bill, if this, assuming this bill becomes law. Am I understanding that correctly?
Chair Holvey, Rep. Nolan, I believe on the Senate Bill 960, the conditional uses under Senate Bill 960 are an alternative to the conditional uses under Section 2, but not the whole of Section 2, just those events and activities that require a conditional use.
So Section 2, subsection 8, I think, but you're the lawyer. In fact, I think you drafted it, so you would know.
We're probably talking about services in subsection 2C. No, that's not accurate. That's not accurate at all. Where is that?
I'm glad to experience that I'm not the only one who's having a hard time tracking it. But
yes, you're right.
I want to make sure people know what they can access.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Further question?
Thanks. That's great.
So, any other discussion on the bill?
Just a comment, Mr. Chair. I think it's important to recognize that, as the winery industry has grown and evolved in Oregon and in the Northwest, that regions, there are regions within the Northwest, within Oregon especially, that aren't limited to just Oregon. I'm going to refer to specifically, there's a wine growing region in the Columbia Gorge that spans Oregon and into Washington. And those wineries work collaboratively together as a wine growing region to promote each other and so forth. And I think I want to be very careful about providing any special limitations on those Oregon-based wineries in that region that are not able to, if you will, compete with the folks that are just simply on the other side of the river. Washington has different, their counties determine what they can do over there. They don't have a state that necessarily mandates as much as what we're considering here. So I just want to be very sensitive to that and recognize that we're not specifically limited to Oregon-based wineries as we talk about our wine-growing regions and industries. And that could happen in southern Oregon, too. I don't know the jurisdictions or the viticulture region. I don't know the proper terminology, but I want to be sensitive to that. So thank you, Mr.
Representative
Chair.
Representative Cameron.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. In fact, I asked a good representative from Hood River last week. I was attending a wedding on the Washington side at a winery, and I was wondering what their limitations were. And to hear the senator say, well, we're going to go from 31 weddings to 25. Where's that business going to go in our state?
Thank you. That is a question, that's for sure. Any other discussion? Seeing none at this time, we do want to take a vote on sending the conceptual amendment on the dash 37 and moving that towards drafting. So we'll come back after recess and actually vote on the actual amendment.
Or do we just recess and the motion stays on the table?
It'll have to be a dash 39 or some subsequent.
Right, we're going to have to make a new motion.
We'll have to make a new motion anyway.
We will need to make a new motion, but my goal here is to get us unified as to we're all in agreement that this is where we want to go, and then when the new amendment comes, we will have to have a separate vote on that amendment.
The vote is just on bringing back a new amendment, a proposed amendment, just as we voted on the 14 days and the 18 days, or we didn't vote on the 18 days or 14, but we did on the 18. So I just want to be able to give legislative council that direction. I don't know that we necessarily need a vote to do that, but Senator Przanski did make a motion on that, so I feel compelled to go ahead and vote on that.
The motion is?
Remind
me what the motion is.
The motion is to basically adopt the dash 37s with the conceptual amendment in the sense of that we want that to be included into the new and hopefully final draft, and that will give guidance to that set of council to limit their new draft to the dash 37s with the conceptual on the statement versus the report.
Chair Holvey, if I could at this point, if folks want to look at page 5, I think I know what I intend to write, so I can tell you how it's going to change. And what I see doing there is on line 22, removing the word report and replacing it with statement. And in line 24, before the period, I would add something to the effect of for the previous tax year, so that the provision would read, at the request of a local government with land use jurisdiction over the site of a winery, the winery shall submit to the local government an annual written statement prepared by a certified public accountant that documents compliance with paragraph A of this subsection for the previous tax year.
So I would actually prefer taking the word annual out of that statement that is a written statement. And I'm not sure that documents or acknowledges may be a better word. Documents may lead us to believe that they got to supply a whole lot of numbers to...
Certifies?
And certifies is something that a certified public accountant does,
I suppose.
Right.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, the reason this is in here, for those of us who have spent months working on this issue, because there was concern about... potential abuses, and there has been, unfortunately, some bad actors in the past. It's certainly a minority of the industry, but there was concern about the 25% standard in general and how that would work and how we would monitor how that would work, and the reason that there was a reporting requirement added, and we've made changes now where it's not required to be submitted every year but at the request of the county. And that was the request of the wineries that felt it was overly onerous. that we would have, one, the counties would have the ability to request that information. Two, DLCD could request that information from the counties. So we, at the state level, have a sense of whether or not this is working as the 25% limit. And that was discussed in detail in multiple work groups. Just for the record.
Thank you. So with that, we want to vote on Senator Pozanski's motion, Shelley.
Senator Dickfelder.
Aye.
Senator Pozanski.
Aye.
Senator Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Nolan.
Understanding the motion to be direction to City Council and not actual action until we see the words, yes.
Co-Chair Cameron.
Yes.
Co-Chair Holby.
Yes. So that motion passes, and we will, the Conference Committee on House Bill 3280 will stand in recess.
Or what do you want to?
Our goal would be.
I would say the call of the chair, or do you want to give a time certain?
My goal would be 2 o'clock.
Why don't we make it 2 and then obviously...
Who knows what floors are happening or...
Yeah. I mean, floor normally comes back at 1. It is 11 now.
Well, it'll be pretty quick.
Let's say 2, and then if we need to... if it's not quite ready, we'll come back after.
2 o'clock.
I'm going to take City Council.